You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Every once in a while, you get to be on TV, even if you don't expect to be.
I bet you didn't know, Anna, that today was the day that I was going to become famous.
Oh, this is the day?
Oh, yeah.
What happened?
I walked in today, and Norm from the other studio recognized me from the news last night. And I got to tell you, here's the thing. I remember recording it, and then I totally forgot that it was going to be out there.
How do you forget that you're being interviewed for the news?
So I was getting gas. I was running late from one thing to the next, and a reporter comes up to me, and they're changing some of the highway numbers around here. I don't know if that's happening everywhere in the world, but it's happening here. And apparently, we're supposed to be very agitated about it, Anna.
Mm-hmm.
I at first thought he was coming up to steal my car.
Oh.
Turns out when he had a cameraman, he did not. I said a couple things, gave him a couple one-liners, and then I guess it was on the news last night.
Did they ask what your name? Did you plug the show? What did you do?
They did not ask my name. Oh. They did not. I did not plug the show.
Oh.
I mean, I knew as well as you would know, too, is like if I said that, they would have cut that out. Well, they would have never even had me on there.
Right. They never actually say your names or the name of the show. Whenever we're on the news, it's like local radio DJs. That's
right.
It. That's as far as we get.
Yeah. But the funny thing that struck me after was is that I would have zero opinion on this matter whatsoever. But for some reason, when the reporter sticks a camera in your face, you feel like you've strongly got to take a side.
Well, there's two people. There's the kind of people that want nothing to do with the camera. They want nothing to do with the microphone. They immediately say no thank you and they run and hide.
Yeah.
And then there's the other person who will say anything because this is their opportunity to be on the news. And let's guess which one you are, Raven.
No. What happened was the guy came up and he gave me the look that you and I would both recognize. The look is, give me something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here for something. Give me that. So that's what I did. But, you know, I do have a friend who's been on the news like anytime anything is ever happening in my town.
Really?
Like 8 times, seriously. And every time I see him, I'm like, why? Why go to him for an opinion on this? He's not the mayor. When were you on the news?
One time when I was very young, there was a water break in front of my house.
Oh, a water line?
Yeah. And we had to be evacuated. And my aunt came to meet us at the local high school where they had taken us, and they captured our embrace when we were reunited. We were never in peril. We were never in anything like that. But it's like 9-year-old me hugging my aunt crying outside of the high school because she came to pick us up.
Oh my God, I mean, the water main broke. Auntie,
right.
Save me.
It was so moving for so many people, myself included. I have to say, it should have like earned at least an Emmy.
Oh man, I'd like to see that clip.
21 minutes, that's how long it takes you to get ready for bed. Well, if you're part of the national average anyway.
What do you think? You think you're higher or lower than that?
Well, I think it depends on what you think your bedtime routine is.
Okay.
So a new study found that the average person starts quote-unquote winding down for the night at 10:15, takes them 21 minutes to do all the usual stuff like brush your teeth and, you know, get put your pajamas on or whatever. And then they're in bed by 10:36, but instead, by scrolling or watching TV, they don't finally fall asleep till 11:18 p.m.
So to me, I mean, in my view, that's really an hour.
Yep.
As you're counting down to sleep time.
Yeah.
Right? Like if you're counting that. I mean, getting ready for bed is like, what, brushing your teeth, flossing, that type of stuff.
What do you consider your bedtime routine? Because mine is, it starts way before brushing the teeth.
I mean, this is the stuff that I have to do every night before I go to bed. It's we turn off the television, I clear the sink, we take the dogs out. They have to go, you know, before we go to bed. We go upstairs, brush our teeth, then you got to brush the dog's teeth if you're doing that. You know, it's a whole thing.
Right. I have like, part of my nighttime routine, which we're getting back to right now, is you got to make the kids lunch for school.
Right.
You have to set the coffee maker for
the
morning.
You're not doing that in 21 minutes?
No.
No way.
It definitely takes me longer than that.
Yeah, that's a lot of stuff.
So producer Julie went around the office and asked everybody,
How long does it take you to get ready for bed?
3 minutes.
What do you do in those 3 minutes?
I take all my medications, and I brush my teeth, and I have a cigarette.
Wait a minute. That is the craziest 3 minutes of all time. And then, who brushes their teeth and then has a cigarette?
I was like, that's...
That's wacky.
Weird.
That's backwards.
Yeah.
3 minutes.
To get ready for bed, about 15 minutes.
What do you do in those 15 minutes?
I wash my face, brush my teeth, put my self-tanner on, put the dog, make sure his little pillows are all cushy, 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 turn the TV on, and that's it.
We do the same thing for our dogs. My wife tucks the dogs in. She actually crawls into one of their kennels and gives Baxter a kiss.
Cushy, cushy, cushy.
Yep.
That's what you do.
She gets in there. She's like, okay. And then she tucks the other one under her blanket, and then he growls at her every night. Every night.
How long does it take you to get ready for bed?
Bed? Oh, I lay there probably a good hour and a half.
What do you do in an hour and a half?
Scrolling. The routine.
What's the routine?
You gotta take your makeup off, wash your face. I don't know, just get comfy cozy.
So I actually can really sympathize with this because sometimes I am so exhausted, you know, and if you're a working, busy mom, you get it. Like you're nonstop from the minute your feet hit the floor in the morning until you get into that bed at night. It is nonstop. And when you finally get to be in your bed and you open up Instagram or you start looking at all your favorite news sites and things, and next thing you know, it's an hour and a half later and you're like, what did I just do? Why did I just waste all this time just scrolling? It's like your time. It's my time.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I get that. To me, all these people sound like they're living a life of leisure, though. They're just not waking up the same time as us.
Well,
they're not doing it.
So process of getting ready for bed, I'd say probably about 20 minutes, a half hour. Wash face, brush teeth, get in bed. The long part is being in bed and scrolling on TikTok and not getting to bed.
My hardest part is screaming at my little one, Dakota, to get her in bed.
Yeah.
That's the hardest part of my night, is to get her to sleep.
And then challenge.
And when she's finally, like, you hear the... And you
heavy
know, like,
breath.
Oh, it's like a weight has been lifted off my shoulder. Like, I've run a marathon and the day has finally completed.
Mm. Well, good luck, America. Try and get to bed earlier today is what I would say.
Mm-hmm. This one hits close to home today. What is a kitchen phone, and can it fix the problem that parents have with regulating their kids and their cell phone addiction? So Kylie Kelce is pretty much has that new podcast and has become the quote unquote it mom. So everyone seems to be looking to her for parenting advice, which is funny.
She comes off like a regular mom
because she's so down to earth and normal. That's what it is when you find another mom that's relatable and kind of has the same views as you. And she's kind of a no nonsense kind of mom. Mm. You listen to what she has to say. And recently, people have been discussing whether this is going to be the future.
I actually believe that we will be doing what I'm calling the kitchen phone. In other words, there will be one or two extra cell phones besides mom and dad's cell phone that they can take with them if they have somewhere they're going where there will not be a parent, or if they will need to get a hold of us, or if they're at something sports related, whatever.
So basically, they don't get their own cell phone.
Right.
It's not theirs, but it lives in the kitchen, and they can take it if they're going somewhere that they're not going to be monitored.
What's smart about that is, you know, obviously the parents have a lot of control as to when it goes, when they take it at all in that regard, right? I like that.
That the cell phones are only kept to the first floor of the house. So you can still have your friends have that phone number. They can still call you. You can still use the phone on the first floor of the house. Mm-hmm. But they live in the kitchen.
So there's a couple thoughts behind this as I was analyzing, because I think it's a really good idea. Because it brings me back to when I was growing up and our phones had cords.
But you still get to see.
Right.
You're going to be in the room. You're going to be in the vicinity.
Our cord was so long.
Oh, yeah. You could go three rooms over.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
But the phone was in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And it had to be answered in the kitchen. So I would, you know, you would take it and you would go all the way to like try to like get it into the living room.
Hate it.
Right.
You know, you'd call somebody right from the other room to go pick it up.
So I think this is a great idea, but I think this is a great idea only if you have young children still and they have not been exposed. Because what I've seen with a lot of my friends and myself included is when you have older kids, like Hayden is 16 and Dakota is 6. So Dakota is always asking, how old was Hayden when she got her phone?
Yeah.
How old? There's precedent. Am I going to get
it? She's doing the comparison thing.
Exactly. And yeah. I'm like, you'll get it when you're 11, just like your sister got it. So it's harder to break that when, because, you know, we didn't know. This is the first generation that we're raising that has cell phones.
You have to start over is what you're saying, basically. It's like, basically, if you have not had children yet, if you are pregnant right now.
Yes.
These are the rules that you put in place. And don't let anybody else talk to your kids about, you know, precedent for when other kids got their cell phone.
But I think that this is a real problem. And Raven, you probably heard me earlier today. So my phone notifies me. Dakota has an iPad, my six-year-old, and it is a problem in my house.
Sure.
It is a problem, and I am trying to eliminate it as best I can. But it notifies me, and it was, we're here at 5:12. I got a notification that she was on it.
That's a problem.
Right. And then I FaceTimed her.
Six years old. That's a problem.
She knew. She knew she was in trouble. I go, why aren't you asleep? And she was like,
it just trails off.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I was like, go upstairs to your father and tell him you are awake, you know?
Uh-huh.
So I'm trying to think, if you've got a unique way that you are controlling or you have a plan for your cell phone use with your kids, what is it? The kitchen phone. What is it? And why are parents looking to use it as a way to monitor their kids' cell phone use in the future? Kylie Kelce has kind of become the it mom. She's got the podcast and kind of the all relatable, all American mom. And she said this.
I actually believe that we will be doing what I'm calling the kitchen phone.
The kitchen phone is only two cell phones that belong to none of the kids, live in the kitchen. It can only stay on the first floor, and they can only take it when they're going somewhere where parents will not be. That's it.
Well, I like the fact that, you know, the parents can regulate it. You see when it's coming or going, mm-hmm. and you've handed it off for a specific time period or mission, basically.
So what's your plan? Do you have one? And what rules do you have in place right now for your kids and their cell phones? 1-800-330-9999. Eric.
Yeah, well, like many people, I'm not just parenting my kids, I'm also parenting my parents. They're always showing my kids what's on their phone, different videos. They'll just reach for it. And so I'm trying not to set up a bad habit. So I've actually had to tell my parents, hey, we're no longer allowed to show videos to my kids unless me and my wife approve of it.
That's smart.
Listen, your parents are just as addicted as you are, as the kids are, as anybody else is, right? They get their phones in their hands, and some people, they're just buried in it all day long. If you don't want that to be the center of everybody's universe, that's a good rule.
Phoebe, how about you? You have a rule when it comes to your kids and their cell phones?
I say that they have to charge their phones overnight in my bedroom, and if they want a new application, that they have to pitch it to me, kind of like Shark Tank style, just because I want to make sure that it's actually something that is appropriate for them.
That's really smart. I like that. I like the idea that they have to come with a PowerPoint slide deck presentation before you approve an app that to be added to their phone.
Plus, if they get any weird messages at that time of day, you're going to know.
Rebecca, you've got a plan with cell phones with your kids?
So I do not allow my kids to bring their phones to school. And I don't allow them to use them during any, like, family meals or restaurant time, anything in public that we do together. And I require that they finish their homework before they can use them.
Well, see, all that seems logical and normal to mm-hmm. me.
Yeah, I mean, not taking it to school, depending on what the rules are there. You know, you're always going to have those parents that argue, well, what if I need to get in touch with them? Or what if there's an emergency or whatever? But, you know, that's a huge one.
Well, we have the Yonder pouches in our high school.
Yeah.
So they lock them up when you go in. And I have to say, I would guess a majority of the students are faking it and not doing it.
That's what I've heard, right? Like, yeah. I mean, you can break them, basically. You
but
can
what it
jailbreak
did do
your phone.
Is you know that if, you know, if you're being watched at school for them, mm-hmm. you know that not to take it out in the hallway and not to take it out in the lunchroom. And it's still initiating conversation with your classmates mm-hmm. and making eye contact. The end result is still the same.
You sound like you're trying to sell me one.
Well,
Chris, cell phones and your kids, what's the rules in your family?
I tried, but basically my kids have a free-for-all with their phones. I do use it as a threatening tool. Like if they really misbehave and do something, they get their phone taken away. And what winds up happening usually is I hide it somewhere and then they don't get it for a few days because I forget where I hid it.
Mm. Oh, it's my little one with the iPad.
Yeah.
You know, she's only six. But when I've had enough of her and the iPad goes on the top of the fridge where she can't reach even if she gets on the chair. And yep. Lord knows she tries.
I was going to say, tries. How long yep. until she finds a ladder
well,
or
she,
something to grab at it
she's
with?
Definitely, she, like, she'll just like sit there and just stare up at it. I'm like, you keep staring all day. It's not coming down.
Yep. My favorite was after they started to get hip, and then those really clever hiding places. I actually hid my daughter's phone in her drawer, and she couldn't find it because she didn't think to look there.
It's good thinking.
You know, my wife put me in Betty Ford, hoping that they would teach me to drink like a gentleman. I was like a pirate, man. I just...
It would have been nice if you had a few cocktails and could stop. You go to Betty Ford and ask her for the cocktail bar.
That's what I did, man.
Might be the end of an era. Trending is powered by Sherwin-Williams. Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains now through the 14th. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Howard Stern, is it the end of an era? I was there, Raven. I was there.
Well, before you get into that story, I mean, I would just say, listen, $100 million is a lot of money to pay anybody, especially when they're only showing up a third of the year. So
his current Howard Stern's current 5-year deal with SiriusXM is worth about $500 million, and it's set to expire this fall. And it's already kind of widely been circulated that they're not going to offer him that much money again, yeah, and they're not going to be able to meet his financial demands for renewal, and that they probably know that he's not going to take it. So what happens next? Now, there's no final decision. Nothing has come out, and there's no confirmation of whether this really is the end or what he would do.
Yeah, I mean, it's negotiation stuff here. I mean, I don't think that Howard Stern disappears. If he doesn't want to, he obviously has any platform to go ahead and do whatever he wants to do moving forward. But, you know, there's a lot of history there, obviously, and there were really some great, great years, and there was decades of success that was unparalleled.
Howard Stern is one of the reasons why I wanted to get into radio.
Sure.
And it was not necessarily because of his shock jock and all those things.
Oh, no, you mean you didn't want to interview people about sex and nudity every morning? That's not what you wanted to do?
Not what I signed up for, what I wanted to do when I was a 19-year-old kid, no. But the one thing that people don't realize is that, like, that interview with Ozzy Osbourne, he is a master interviewer.
Yeah, one of the best.
And the way that he would prepare, and it always surprised me because, you know, I try to learn from the best,
sure,
right? You want to learn from the best that have ever existed. Like, he would read their entire books. Imagine if we read every book,
yeah,
like from beginning to end of every person that we had on this show. Like, the amount of time and dedication and the way that he's able to relate and be able to get the information out and do it in a way like you're talking to your best friend is amazing.
Well, I think that there also became a time, too, where people just, they would go there and they would dump, like, you know, famous people or whatever. They would just go there and they would, you know, completely release all that info. It was a safe space for them to be as out of the lines as they wanted to be.
So when I was in college, I got an internship at K-Rock Radio in New York City, and it was the greatest internship of my life. It's why I'm sitting in this seat right now. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest.
Sure.
That's the truth of the matter.
It gave you the taste, the addiction, the,
I mean, our
energy,
boss,
everything.
Our boss said when he hired me, I had to have you in here because you're the only person I've ever seen with K-Rock on their resume.
Right.
That's the truth. And so I interned there, and then I became the program director's assistant for a short period. So we would have a lot of interactions with Howard and everybody. And Howard is the nicest guy. I think I've had maybe 5 short conversations with him.
Mm-hmm.
A true gentleman, really was. And his office was directly across diagonal from my cubicle. And I sat outside the program director's office. And I was sitting in my cubicle the day where they had the meeting in there, where he was telling them that he was going to satellite.
Leaving terrestrial radio.
Yeah.
It was a big deal.
It was huge.
I was working at a Howard Stern rock station at the time, so I know it was a huge deal, industry over.
I want you to imagine me as a 22-year-old kid, 21-year-old kid, sitting out there and listening to this, and it's right outside the door, so I hear, and I'm like shaking, because I know how massive this moment is.
Seismic.
And I pick up the phone, and I call my husband, I go, buy the stock. Buy all the satellite stock. I go, buy it right now. Buy it right now. And
you
could
have been in prison next to Martha Stewart. You could have been right there, insider trading.
We had no money. I think we bought like $300 worth, which is everything that we could afford.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah. And, okay. and you want to know what happened?
Yeah.
We lost. We lost all our money. It never made money.
Well, that's the thing, is it never made money, because guess what? It costs hundreds of millions of dollars to put satellites in space to have radio. And then, of course, as soon as cell phone towers and technology came out, it just basically made all that obsolete.
Here's what I think, though. I think that at the end of the day, this is not the end for him. It might be the end for him for this, but
yeah.
he when you fall in love with this, you fall in love with it. He's always going to come back to do these interviews, even if it's going to be in a different capacity.
There'll
I
be
bet.
A next chapter to this story.
I think so.
Right? Yeah. But you can advise people on when to buy and sell.
You should never listen to me. We have if there is a financial mistake to be made, we have made it. If you feel like your husband or your boyfriend has been super sneaky lately and constantly in his phone or on his laptop and you don't know what he's doing and he's hiding it from you.
He's probably having an affair.
No, he's on Pinterest.
Oh.
Yep.
That's a surprise, actually. It's not the way I would have went with that.
Men now more than ever make up the people that are using Pinterest.
Oh, wow.
One third of users, that's 33% of men, are using Pinterest. And I read that and I said, no.
Seems odd.
That seems very strange. What a guy searching for on the platform? How to dress for Pilates.
What?
How to be better parents.
Okay, that one would make sense. That's good.
How to up their skincare game.
All right.
And then other hyper-masculine stereotypes.
Okay.
Like camping and stuff.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Like, that's, yeah, okay.
Raven, can you explain to everybody who has no idea what Pinterest is?
Yeah.
Because I'm sure you know.
Well, I've been in there like once in my life, so I'm going to just...
You've been in there?
Yeah, I've been in there one time, I think. Like, so isn't it like a place where you go and then you like put pictures of things that you like and like, you know, who you want to be, what your life should be like, right? But it's not like necessarily pictures of you. It's just like, it's like scrapbooking or something.
Honestly, it's not the worst definition, because the truth is that I never understood, with the exception of when I was planning my wedding.
Yeah.
Why people use this site so religiously.
Is it like a photo dump or something? Like,
yeah,
right?
Like when you're decorating, for me, how I've always used it is like when I was going to decorate my house and I would look for bookcases I liked, I would pin them so I could see all in one place where they were.
You'd have a bookcase and then here's some doilies and a new sofa.
There's definitely no doilies
on
my cell phone.
But you know what I mean, right? Like, it would all be there.
I think a lot of guys have no idea what Pinterest is, and the fact that 30% of them are using it, it seems wild to me. So producer Julie went around the office.
Okay.
What's on your Pinterest board?
Get out of here.
Do you know what Pinterest is?
I know what Pinterest is. My girlfriend has a board. I don't have a board.
But
girlfriend.
A brief explanation, what is the app?
It's like where you see things online and you like the things that you like. It's like something that like kids did in like school.
Like
remember?
A collage?
Like a collage of the things that they like. That's what it would be. That's what it is.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's a collage. That's
okay.
What it is. I mean, not the worst definition.
Is that what it is?
Kind of.
Okay.
I pictured it like a vision board, but you don't have to cut out the pieces of
vision
the magazine
board.
And have glue sticks.
Yeah, that's what I was looking for. It's like an Oprah term. Okay.
What is Pinterest?
Pinterest is a like a hobby website, right?
You're laughing in the background.
Right?
I guess it's not like a hobby website. Okay.
Hobby website, yeah. Right?
It's a place you go to learn crafts. Nope, he's not going there.
Hobby, like crafting, all that kind of.
What's on your Pinterest board?
I don't have a Pinterest board. I don't have hobbies.
Why don't you have a Pinterest board? Everybody's got one.
I have no Pinterest in it.
What?
I see what he did there.
I have no Pinterest in it.
Oh.
Get it?
That was like my husband would be so proud. He would be so proud of Mark right there. With that is such a dad joke, like I'd never heard one before. I wonder if he pinned it.
Congratulations, Mark. It's a good job.
What's on your Pinterest board?
I don't have a Pinterest board.
Why don't you have a Pinterest board?
That's a great question. I don't know.
What is Pinterest?
I know it's like an app where like you just put pictures and ideas together.
Yeah, the truth of the matter is guys don't know, and I'm not really sure women know either.
I mean,
it's a collection of thoughts. That's what I would say.
That's the guy who could get the closest to it, because like that's our IT guy.
Right.
Like he knows stuff that's on, you know, online.
My Pinterest board is so old, I still have my Yahoo account connected to it.
Photos of stuff I want to put on my Pinterest board.
Go ahead.
Okay. My Dutch oven recipe for camping.
Yeah.
You know that one where I just put in everything and it's baked ziti like an hour later? That's a good one there.
Mm-hmm.
Photos of me and the grandson in our hip-hop shirts. He's got Tupac. I've got Snoop. Great picture there. PSA message about grill grease fires.
Okay.
That would be a good one.
I don't think that's what it's for.
And everybody else wants to go like rock climbing and stuff like that. I would like have a picture of a folding chair, because that's really what I want to do in my time.
What does your thirst trap say about you, and should you be posting it? The biggest celebrities post those thirst traps. Talking about Shawn Mendes, Harry Styles, Kim Kardashian, Megan Fox, even Martha Stewart. Should you be doing it? Amy Morin is a psychotherapist. You can find her online at amymorinlcsw.com and listen to her podcast, Mentally Stronger with Therapist Amy Morin, anywhere you get your podcasts. Amy, why does everybody post these pictures? Are they looking for likes?
Of course. We feel better about ourselves. The more likes we get, the better we feel. And we think, oh, I'm popular. I'm attractive. And there's nothing wrong with feeling good about yourself and posting some things and then thinking, oh, that kind of reinforces that I think I'm cute. But it becomes a problem when we start to really put our self-worth out there thinking, oh, if I don't get enough likes, I must not be good enough. And for a lot of people, it really takes a toll on their self-esteem.
I think we should define what a thirst trap is for people that might not know, because you hear the term, but has anybody actually given it a definition?
In our context, when we're talking about it, it's those photos that you post where you're just hoping to look attractive. It might be a bathing suit photo, but not necessarily. Maybe it's just a selfie and where you're looking for positive feedback about your appearance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you're not sitting there in a vulnerable type way. Like, you're looking all sexy and thirsty, right? Like, you can see it. I think we all know it when we see it, even if we might not have the definition defined. Here's the problem with that. Like, it just comes off desperate. It's somehow different, obviously, when it's Martha Stewart or Megan Fox or whatever. And if Megan Fox wants to like on my thirst trap, then that'd be one thing. Other than that, if it's just people you know or you work with, like, it comes off weird. It's
Amy,
creepy.
But why do people do it? Because
people are weird and creepy.
Is that why, Amy? Because people are weird and creepy?
Well, you know, I think we get used to seeing these celebrities who have professional photographers and they get paid to look good. And then we forget that just as the average person who's taking a selfie with our phone, it doesn't come across the same, that we aren't going to be getting all of these likes and people commenting on our appearance the same way that somebody who just had a professional studio with a makeup artist is going to look. And I think we forget that.
Mm-hmm. How can you ever notice? I mean, I know some people that they do it. They'll get like 5 likes, 6 likes. And they can keep doing it. And there's clearly a disconnect somewhere where I don't understand what they're thinking. Do you think that it goes deeper than just, I want people to think I'm hot?
Yeah, I think a lot of people, it really does boil down to self-worth. So like, who am I? How many people like my stuff? Who's liking it? Maybe you're just trying to flirt with one particular person.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, basically, you're trying to fill a void. And in that regard, it's kind of sad. If you're looking for the approval or, you know, the affections of one person, send a private message. That's what that's all about, right? If you're the person that's out there, it's the same person that posts the cryptic post, Anna, that asks for something, right? Pray for me. But no problem is listed, right? Need your help today. Whatever it may be. What are we talking about here? You're trying to hook us.
So, Amy, what advice would you have to somebody who continues to do things like this and that is looking for validation and clearly there's a disconnect?
If you are able to recognize, okay, I keep doing this, then I would say take a break from social media. Go work on building hobbies and interests and relationships with people that aren't all about them giving you a thumbs up on a device. Make your life so interesting that posting on social media just seems boring or something that you don't really want to do. And then take a look at yourself, like, oh, why is it that this is where my value comes from? What else do I have to offer the planet aside from selfies that I take in my car?
Yeah. All right. We have to go because I have to go post my thirst trap now.
I just got to go look at Martha Stewart's.
Right. All right. Good.
Dang, girl. Look at these.
Check out Amy's podcast, Mentally Stronger with therapist Amy Morin. And Amy, thank you as always. You get to pick today, Raven. Good news or bad news first when it comes to women in sports?
Great. That's a place where I feel totally qualified. I'm going to go bad news first. That's typically the way I would take it in life.
Trending is powered by Sherwin-Williams. Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains tomorrow through the 14th. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. This is really upsetting.
For the third time since last week, someone threw an adult toy onto the court during a WNBA game. This time it happened as the Indiana Fever took on the LA Sparks in Los Angeles.
Like what? Why?
All of a sudden, too, right? Like, I mean, the game has grown so much over the last couple of years, and now all of a sudden, like, this is a problem? Was never a problem before? Obviously, somebody's, you know, got, like, a nefarious agenda.
It's like, it's one of those things where I think people think it's funny, but it's not.
Each time it's happened to these people, they get caught, they get busted, well, and then they get banned,
Nope. They've only caught one dude. They caught one guy in Atlanta that did it. Okay. They haven't caught the other two yet. And here's what I don't understand. Why are these inappropriate toys green? They're all green. What?
I don't know.
There's so many questions that I cannot ask on the air. Yeah. But I don't understand the reasoning behind this. So the Fever's Kelsey Mitchell, she has something to say about it.
You can't control everybody's actions to the person or people who think, you know, it's cool. Hats off to you. And, you know, to the higher power, I hope they keep praying for you. But for us, we want to keep the main thing the main thing.
Going to keep the main thing, she's going to keep praying for them. What? Why?
Well,
you're a better person than I am.
Well, obviously, you know, these are wacky people coming in here and just trying to, you know, disrupt something that, again, the game is growing so much at this point. It seems like a strange timed thing right now.
How did I get them in the game?
I mean, all the different things, the parameters that I go through going to a concert or anything like that, there's definitely scanners and all that stuff. You got to open up somebody's bag.
Let's move on to the good news in women's sports. How about that?
Yeah, give me some of that.
A New Jersey native will make history this weekend for Major League Baseball. When Jen Powell takes the field, she will become the first woman to be an umpire in a regular season game.
That's awesome.
It also seems crazy. Why did it take so long?
Yes.
That seems absolutely ridiculous.
They've had women in exhibition games and things like that, but they've never actually had it in a regular season game.
The 48-year-old will ump three games during this weekend's Marlins Braves series in Atlanta.
I love this. And when you look at all the pictures of her, you know she means business. Like, she is good to go. She is ready to rock and roll. And she comes with a lot of qualifications.
Powell was an all-state softball and soccer player, and she went to Hofstra on a softball scholarship and was also on the USA Women's National Baseball Team.
You know, a lot of people are going to be watching her this weekend for sure. I just wonder, like, is she going to get all the hate? How is she going to react? I can't wait.
I mean, umpires always get the hate, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if their calls aren't good or they're not consistent, I would say is the big thing. And there's definitely some umpires that think that the game is more about them than it is about the actual game itself. What's interesting to me is she's tough. So if a player doesn't like a call and gives some pushback, she's going to push right back on that player, too.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see how she handles those situations when people disagree. When the manager comes out and starts kicking dirt, Anna, well, how's she going to take care of that, right?
Here's what I know. It's about time. That's good. If the government knew what goes through my mother's head when she gets called for jury duty, I wonder if they would still want her so badly. Honestly.
I mean, it feels like they're calling her all the time.
So she has gotten called a few times, but every time she gets called, they make her come in. Now, if you've ever listened to this show with any regularity, it is my dream to get called for jury duty. And the two times I've been called, they do that thing where the night before they tell you you don't have to come.
Right.
And I am always devastated because I can't think of anything more fun than sitting in a room quietly and judging people. It's all I want.
Always the bridesmaid, never the bride. You never get called for it. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I once again, last week, my mom gets called and she's, you know, she's served on juries before. And,
right.
You know, and she acts like she's a
professional. We need you back.
Yeah.
We need you back.
How many times have you been called for jury duty, Mom?
This is my second time.
And this is the second time that they told you had to go in?
Yes.
Now, you know, it's my dream to go and do jury duty, and every single time they tell me not to come.
I wonder why.
Well, why do you think that you're so good that you get called all the time?
I really don't know, but, you know, I'm a detective, so I think they probably could see that.
Oh.
Right, that makes a lot of sense.
My mom believes that she's a detective.
How so?
I don't know. Maybe because she used to go through my room when I was a teenager.
Okay, well, that's different, but a qualification nonetheless.
They could see her, and she immediately, they know. Like, she has watched a tremendous amount of Law and Order.
Yeah.
She knows exactly what's going to make somebody guilty and what's not going to.
Sure.
You know, I'm a detective, so I think they probably could see that.
Yeah, they see right through it. They see immediately that's what's happening.
Yeah, of course.
When you got pulled in today, what happened? They wanted you, right?
Oh, yes. But then they asked if there was a conflict with the schedule, the trial dates. And I wasn't going to be able to be there the last day. So I had to raise my hand. And they just let me go. I was so upset. I really wanted to do it.
Right, because you only wanted to do Monday through Friday. You didn't want to do the other days. You wanted to do a part-time jury duty and then leave for your vacation.
Exactly.
My mom believed Because they said that they would need her the following Monday through Friday, uh-huh. and then there would be a possibility for the additional Monday.
Wow, okay.
That additional Monday, she's leaving for vacation.
Yeah.
So she believed that she was so highly needed on this jury.
So respected.
Right. That
so necessary.
That they would be like, you know what? We don't need you to last day.
Yeah.
You're right.
You're going to be fine.
We'll let you go.
Yeah.
You tell us if he's guilty or not,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll just take that, we'll write it down, and you go ahead and have a lovely time on your vacation.
Or we'll reschedule this trial.
Right. But here's the thing.
Move it up.
About my mom. When she sees you,
yeah.
she makes snap judgments. She's been doing it to my friends her entire life.
Is that right?
A friend, I would bring somebody home. She'd be like, Anna, that person's no good, Anna. Right?
She'd be like, they're not welcome here.
When you saw the guy, what did you think about the person?
Oh, I already know that he was guilty. I knew.
Right
you're
away.
Not, you're not supposed to say that.
No,
she's not supposed to say that.
The government wants her. Every time they call her, she's got to go in.
Well, they want her because they want to prosecute. They want the person going down.
I knew right away, Anna. Yeah. I looked at him. I said, that guy's guilty. I knew it.
Did she convict last time?
Yes.
Yeah. That's the thing. So she's a ringer. She's going to convict every single time. I love that.
If you've been called for jury duty, what was the case about? What happened? We got to hear your story. 1-800-330-9999. Why do some people always get called for jury duty and others don't? My mom gets called all the time. I'm so jealous. I never do. And I asked her why they always pick her.
You know, I'm a detective, so I think they probably could see that.
Right, obviously.
They see it.
Yeah, right away.
Yeah, when they send out the notices.
Right.
Yeah. They know that. I mean, I've been on a jury before. It's very interesting for sure. I know it's a dream of yours.
I know. One that may never happen. What happened when you were called for jury duty? 1-800-330-9999.
I was living in Manhattan, and I got called to jury duty, and I ended up in, we didn't go to trial yet, but it was a guy that had been hit on his bicycle by an MTA bus.
Mm.
And we got called in. We sat there the first day. We never saw the judge. We only saw a lawyer. The second day we went in. The third day, we still hadn't been in a courtroom. We were just in this weird holding room. And one of the other jurors showed up completely wasted, reeking of alcohol.
Wow.
Threw up in the corner.
No.
And
come on.
Everybody was beside themselves. And this guy, like, whispers to the woman next to me, I'm not staying here all day. I can't do this 3 days in a row.
Well, I mean, that's one way to get out of jury duty. Just show up drunk. Oh, I suggest that.
Dude got us all out of it. They sent us home, and it was only like 10:45 in the morning. It was the best day.
Nice, right?
And so that was it. You didn't have to actually
come back.
And
that night, we called the number, and none of us had to go back.
Yeah. You know what? I mean, here's the thing. If a city bus hits you, like, they're going to settle. I don't know why they were playing this game of chicken saying, yeah, we're going to go to trial.
Yeah.
Chances are you got to write them a check.
Raven, you missed the part where one of the jurors was throwing up in the corner.
Yeah,
you missed that.
No big deal.
Kyle, what happened when you were on jury duty?
I got assigned to this father-son duo assault and battery case. They both lived in this inclusive apartment building where, you know, you pay a lot and you get all your utilities. And for a week and a half, they were complaining about their cable package not coming through. Go downstairs and start complaining to the security guard there. The security guard says, hey, I don't do the cable package and I can't fix your TV.
Right, get out of my face.
But eventually the dad starts hitting the security guard. So here we are 3 years later. The father and son are saying, oh no, the security guard attacked me. And we had to settle out how much the security guard got versus the father-son duo.
That's wild, especially when you're, like, living next door.
Sean, what happened at jury duty?
I didn't actually get onto the case, but when I got there, I learned that the defendant was my neighbor, and my neighbor was on trial for assault, and I saw him, and I just stared at him when I sat there. I had no idea, and now whenever I walk out, and I see him across the street, I just look at him because I'm like, he was on trial for assault. Did he do it? It was jarring.
Well, that's interesting. Did you get out of serving on the jury because you said, that's my neighbor? Or was it just a situation where they dismissed you and you weren't called?
When I heard the name, I literally blurted out, oh my God, I'm not gonna say his name on here.
Yeah, sure.
I just shouted, oh my God. And then I said it, and then
they let you go.
Yeah, they let me go. People thought it was an act. No, I was genuinely bewildered.
Don't they say if any of these people sound familiar to you or you know anybody, raise your hand?
Yeah, 100%.
That happens.
Yeah, and if you stand up and say, that's my neighbor, you can't know the defendant, you can't know the plaintiff,
right.
You can't know any of the arresting officers, your association to any of those people, what they do for a living, all that stuff can come into question. And he's coming out and he's glaring at you from across the street. He's probably wondering why you didn't keep your mouth shut, stay on the jury and help acquit him.
One couple.
It makes me furious. I just don't get it.
This is what she wants to do.
One problem.
My daughter wants to do a spa weekend for her 16th birthday.
And I'm being deprived of going there because I'm a guy?
You decide the outcome.
All right, Gabby, you got to be happy to hear that, right?
Yeah, I mean, we can have a family dinner when we get back in town.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. And then it's up for you to decide who's right. Couples Court is powered by Sherwin-Williams. Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains starting tomorrow through the 14th. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Jared and Sam. Sam, what's going on?
My husband has been going on and on. I get my nails done twice a month. It's something that's always been self-care for me. I just feel like I feel put together. I feel like I have 2 hours, you know, just to myself to take focus on myself. Sometimes I go with friends. It's something that's really important to me, and he keeps making me feel bad for doing that. Even if he doesn't understand the nail thing, it's something that makes me happy, and it's a very small thing that I do for me.
Jared, explain to me why you care.
Each time she goes to this nail appointment, it's $80, and she does that twice a month, so it's $106 a month. And it doesn't matter if, for example, someone hit my car and I got to get a new car and we got to tighten up a bit. It doesn't matter if we have another emergency or if we have a trip or if we're planning a vacation. She will always, always get these nails done. And it is always just a dent in our finances. I don't want to be mean, but like the nails don't look that good. The place she goes to isn't even...
She's a little childish.
Jared, let me... You are upset about what she's spending on her nails to get done because you were worried about a rainy day that has not arrived yet. I want to just make sure that I paraphrase what was going on. You're talking about an accident that hasn't happened to your car. You're talking about an emergency that has not yet arrived. And then you throw in the fact that the nails don't look good. These are the reasons primarily you're upset about it?
Yeah.
Sam, do you work?
Yeah, I work part-time in retail.
All right.
And then I'm also taking care of the kids.
Okay. All right.
I mean, do you go out? Are you eating lunch 5 times a week? Do you spend $16 at the Starbucks every day?
No, I make my own tea at home. I mean, I don't want to go tit for tat, but I personally don't understand poker night. I mean, like, sometimes you make money, often you lose. It's something that I don't understand, but I don't, like, I don't try to get in the way of his thing. Like, but he started it.
Jared said her nails are ugly, so she said you suck at poker. That's what happened.
I mean, I think we understand, right? We've probably all been in this discussion one way or another.
The thing about the nails is that there's a lot of back and forth, because I don't think people get it. If you don't get your nails done,
right,
you see it as it's a lot of money and it's an investment in what? Just, you know, cut your toenails. Like that's
But if you get it done,
you know
how good it makes you feel.
Right.
Yes.
It's like, you know, being a mom, like, I don't know, it's nice having a time where I'm like, oh, this is for me. And I also sometimes that's a time to socialize. I have like a friend from college I meet up with. I'm friends with the people there.
It's just Jared like a wants little to take away her happiness on top of it too. Okay.
I don't know. But $160 a month to get your nails done going twice a month, is that too much? And I mean, obviously the compromise would be you go once a month, but if you get your nails done regularly, you know that's not a thing. So
yeah.
I mean, I feel like it's 80 one time and 2 weeks later it's just a touch up, it's 50. Personally, myself, maybe talk to your manicurist. But all right.
I don't think that's how it works everywhere.
It's more complicated than that, you know.
Let's see, Sam. Let's see what the audience says. Let's see if they agree with you. They might think that Jared's right. Spending that much money twice a month at the nail salon is not feasible. But what do you think?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court.
$160 a month. Is that too much money to spend on your nails every month? Jared says, yeah. He's so sick of his wife spending all that money. She goes every other week and spends $80. And he says, you want to talk about a waste of money? That is a waste of money. What are you doing?
What if something happens? What if there's an emergency? What if there's something for us to pay for? This all just seems like a big, he used the word dent in our finances there. But Sam says, listen, I could be spending this money on plenty of other things. This is one thing that I do for myself. And it's not just even for myself. It's social. It's me and my friends, too. This is like, you know, the center of my wellness for myself.
What do you think? Is that too much? 1-800-330-9999. Sandy, whose side are you on?
I'm 100% on the wife's side. I mean, it's a simple little pleasure that she likes to do for herself. $80, not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure why he's doing the what if. And the fact that it makes her happy and makes her feel good about herself and it's self-care and he doesn't seem to appreciate that or acknowledge that is a little sad.
Yeah, he seems a little bit tightly wound.
Right. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a couple's court. $160 a month. Is that too much money to be spending on your nails? Couples Court Verdict is powered by Sherwin-Williams. Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains. Tomorrow through the 14th, retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
I mean, if you do the math, it's nearly $2,000 a year, right? When you look at it like that, it might seem a lot. Jared says it's way too much for his wife, Sam, to be spending that on her nails. But Sam says, this is the only thing I truly do for myself, and I'm going to keep on doing it.
And she doesn't want to go once a month. She doesn't want to compromise. She wants to just keep doing it the way she's been doing it. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna Raven. Whose side are you on?
I think he's crazy. I'm totally on her side.
What do you do for yourself, right? Like if you get your nails done?
Yes, I get my nails, everything, your hair.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what does he do?
Well, that's a good question,
you know, like,
too, right?
Drink. Like, what does he do?
Apparently he plays poker, right? And not well.
Yeah. Well, and that's a big issue.
You know, the funny thing is, Anna, I have no idea what my wife spends on any of that stuff. And you know what? Whenever she brings any of it up, what do I say? Well, if you need it, right? If you want it.
It's true.
Just pay whatever it takes.
I feel like the nail thing comes up a lot because I don't want to say all men, but a lot of men don't understand the fascination with it. They don't get it.
Mm.
Because it's expensive, but it's such a small thing.
Let me do the outreach for men right now. Go. Get a pedicure manicure, gentlemen. Trust me. You'll thank me.
Anna and Raven, what do you think about this?
Hi. I'm on the wife's side. However, you know, sometimes plan A is not perfect. Plan B is not perfect. Maybe she could compromise, go one time. And she mentioned socializing, seeing her friends. Why didn't she get together with all her friends like you do each other's nails? And it won't cost a thing.
But I sit on a park bench.
Like teenage girls together, right? Like a sleepover, right? Like they would do that. Watch movies, have girl talk, do each other's nails.
My girlfriends and I have actually been joking about this for like a year now that we'd love to have a big slumber party. Just the moms. Mm-hmm. Just all of us. Be so much Pinot Grigio.
Well, I know what you're going to be doing.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Sam, our audience agreed with you. Maybe try to find a cheaper option. Maybe don't always get pedicure. Whatever you can do to make it more financially feasible, fantastic. But
right.
They did agree with you, Sam, that you're allowed to go. You want to go twice a month to get your nails done? Go.
Oh, okay.
You know what? Okay. You know what? If that's what they say, that's what they say. But I don't think anyone has seen just like how mediocre these technicians are at their job.
Okay. Now we're going to get mad at them.
Oh, now you're a nail expert, I see.
Right.
You know what? How about this? How about you do my nails?
No, you don't want that, Sam. That's ridiculous. Let's not get crazy.
Don't do that. Keep going to get your nails done from a professional. But maybe find a coupon. That would be okay, too.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $3,800 thanks to Sherwin-Williams. Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains August 8th through the 14th. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. All right. I have Maureen and Ellie. You ladies ready to play today?
Hi. Yep. We're ready. Yeah.
All right, Ellie. How old are you, Ellie?
I'm 10. I'm almost 11.
Okay. Almost 11. Do you think your mom knows her stuff?
Yeah.
All right, let's see if she can do this. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it. Good luck.
I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in. Ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready?
Sounds good. Yeah. Okay.
Number one, Carrie Underwood is back to her roots. Literally, her blonde hair is gone and she's back to being a brunette, her natural hair color, and that she hasn't seen since she was 12 years old. She won what season of American Idol?
Season 3.
Number two, Dolly Parton and her wine brand, Dolly Wines, just opened up shop at Assembly Food Hall in Nashville. Also, her theme park was just named after, just named the most favorite in the country. What's it called?
Dollywood.
Number three, Benny Blanco admits that when his fiance is away, he likes to spray her perfume all over to remind himself of her. Who is his fiance?
Yeah, what's her name? His fiance. Oh my God, I'm blanking.
Number four, turns out that Leonardo DiCaprio wasn't the original choice to play Jack in the Titanic movie. It was what? All right, all right, all right. Texas actor that was refused the part because he wanted to do it with his Texas drawl.
Matthew McConaughey.
And number five, Ice Cube's War of the Worlds has a 0% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Who wrote War of the Worlds?
George Orwell.
Okay, let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
2 out of 5 for Maureen and Ellie.
Oh, not great. Whole lot of money on the line. Let's see how I do.
Number one, Carrie Underwood is back to her roots. Literally, her blonde hair is gone and she's back to being a brunette.
Okay.
It's the first time she's seen her roots since 12 years old. I wonder, my hairdresser always says to me, she's like, you wouldn't believe how dark your hair is now. I'm like, you know what? Hopefully I'll never find out. Yeah. She won what season of American Idol?
The fourth season, wasn't it?
Yes, the fourth. Number two, Dolly Parton and her wine brand, Dolly Wines, just opened up a shop at Assembly Food Hall in Nashville. Also, her theme park was just named the most favorite in the country. What's it called?
Dollywood.
Yes. Number three, Benny Blanco admits that when his fiance is away, he likes to spray her perfume all over to remind himself of her.
Sounds expensive.
Who is his fiance?
Selena Gomez.
Yes. Number four, turns out that Leonardo DiCaprio wasn't the original choice to play Jack in the Titanic movie. It was what? All right, all right, all right. Texas actor.
To be Matthew McConaughey.
That's right. He wanted to do it with a Texas drawl. Everybody said no, no.
Seems like I would have adjusted if I was him, but.
Number five, Ice Cube's War of the Worlds has a 0% rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
It does. The preview, I was like, wait a minute, what's happening here?
Who wrote War of the Worlds?
Orson Welles. With an assist from Stephen King.
H.G. Wells.
Oh, well, oops. Well, either way.
All right. 4-2 today, ladies. That's going to get you an Ann on Raven t-shirt.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, you two.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, everybody. It's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.